got help. And I thank God for this, not only for the ministry of this church, but also for the ministry of this website, which takes the messages of this church and the teaching of this church further. People in Afghanistan, Korea, Japan, China, Jamaica. It's amazing how many people visit this website, and I count that a blessing that we're able to lengthen our tent stakes by means as simple as having just a website to take the teaching and preaching of this church even further. I'm interested in going further. And our lesson today, again, is about Philip. And it just wouldn't be fair to go to the two verses that pertain to Philip in Acts chapter 21, because it would leave out a lot of material that leads up to these two verses. So we'll start in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 21, and we'll go as the Lord leads. We'll go to God in prayer before we do anything. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be a citizen of this great, blessed country. We thank you, Lord, to say that, Lord, we're saved. We're thankful, Lord, to be in a Bible-believing, fundamental church, Lord. Lord, in this day and hour, Lord, when so many, Lord, are like Demas, have gone astray, having loved this present world, and they've left that first love, and now they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I met some of them coming to church this morning, towing their boats and four-wheelers and motorcycles. And Lord, I used to be in that number myself. And I'm so glad that, Lord, now the Lord's day is not fun day. It's Sunday, and it's me heading to the house of God. I'm so glad, Lord, that it's different now. I'm glad for you making that difference in my life. I thank you for the joy that's in my heart to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. John couldn't be there, and yet he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that may come to us, Lord, for all I know. Me and Brother Ed was talking about, Lord, the Antichrist spirit that's already working in our day, and how it's infected our government, and how it's influencing, Lord, a lot of the decisions of our country. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, if it comes down to that day, that we will be also in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Nothing he could do about it, but it didn't prevent him from being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Lord, his mind was upon you, and Lord, his thoughts were directed to you, and you visited him there, and we pray you'll visit us here today. In Christ's name we ask these things, your will and all. Amen. All right, we'll take our text today, Acts 21, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them straight course to Kos, and that's actually pronounced Kos, in the day following Rhodes from thence to Patara. And Paul has made a journey from Miletus to Tyre, and this is speaking about that, and finding a ship sailing over to Panisia, we went aboard and set forth. The main means of transportation in that day, the main means, was by ship. If you was going to go a long distance, you would take a ship. If you was going to go a short distance, you would either walk or, you know, take a horse or donkey or something like that. But they aboarded a ship. And it says, now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it, talking about the ship, on the left hand, and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlay her burden. This ship was making a journey, delivering goods, and they also were passengers upon this ship, and it has reached its destination. Now, over the top of verse 4 in this Schofield Study Bible that I hold so dearly, it mentions about the Holy Ghost forbids Paul to go to Jerusalem. That's important. Let me put it in these terms, and I don't want to get political here, but I do believe that we need to be careful in everything that we do. I believe we're to pray. I believe we're to seek God and the will of God about all the things that pertain to this life.
Amen.
Now today they're burying a man that they've been a week carrying him around, and in my opinion, making way too big ado about.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, to give tribute to whom tribute is due. And I'm sad to say that I unfortunately cannot give tribute to this senator for reasons kind of like what the Holy Spirit said about Paul.
Yeah.
His song, I Did It My Way, which was his plans for his funeral, a parting shot, should have never, you know, humility is the way up, pride is the way down.
Amen. That's right.
And I would like to say something good about Senator John McCain. I said I'm not going to get political here, and I'm not. But sadly, I have noticed his daughter is following the bitter footsteps of her late father.
Right.
And that will lead to an early grave. And that's all I'm going to say about that. My pastor said, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. And I certainly agree with that statement. I would like to have my speech seasoned with grace, just like Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says. I do want to be kind. I do want to be gracious. I do want to have the leadership of God.
Yeah.
But I believe man needs to seek the leadership of God. I believe men need to follow that leadership. And when it's not there, you can't make something that's not there.
Right.
Now, well, I'm getting off of that. Verse 4 said, in finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. It's amazing that the Bible has such precise details about the ship, about the days.
Yeah.
And after 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, that's important. This is a prophet prophesying to Apostle Paul, and I'm sure he's like you and me, like we think we've arrived, we don't have no need of any man to tell us anything, and yet we most of the time have need of one teach us again what be the oracles of God. Well, this prophet said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, sometimes God's answer doesn't agree with our motive or our plans.
Right.
Sometimes God says no. And men have a problem with that word no.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Brother Ed, but most men just can't take that word no.
No.
You tell some men no, and they'll listen. You tell other men no, and they'll look for some way around that word no, to their own hurt, to their own destruction.
Right.
They'll follow pernicious ways. And they'll have no one to blame for them but themselves for it. Paul surely have hearkened here. This is one of the times when Paul failed, and yet he succeeded. When I say he failed, he should have paid heed. When I say he succeeded, he finished his course.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't have any rocks to throw about my beloved brother Paul. But he was warned. And it says that when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And that reminds me a whole lot about that song, Frank Sinatra, and I Did It My Way.
Yeah.
And I hate to throw that in here, but our way needs to be His way.
Amen.
And His way needs to be our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were come out of the city. Now, a lot of people don't agree with this posture of prayer, but I'm glad it's in the Bible. I used to preach on a radio program in Horse Cave at a, let me see if I can get this right. Well, brain dead here, Carlotte up there. I can't think of his name, but he's got a radio station right there in his car lot. And I have sure went brain dead here. But in that car lot, that radio station in there, I'm sure his name will come to me here in a minute. I used to preach in there a radio program called the Be Thou Faithful radio program. I did that for 5 years. And I had a certain preacher in front of me and a certain preacher behind me, and I was between them, and they, I got it coming and going. I mean, I'd be driving up there, and it'd be down the road about 80 weight, and I'd get in there and preach, and I'd leave, and it'd be down the road about 80 weight coming and going. But they mentioned nowhere in the Bible did it mention that there was an altar, and it does. And it doesn't really mention anything about praying, and yet it does. And I was very specific to point that out. And I'm glad right here, no altar mentioned, but yet they kneeled down on the shore, being their altar, right, and prayed.
Yeah.
And that's important. We really need to learn from this Bible that we've not got it all figured out. It's mentioned they kneeled down on the shore and prayed. I mentioned on that radio program in Acts chapter 17 where Paul visited Mars Hill, and he said as I passed by, he said, I found an altar, and I know that that altar was to offer up gifts to this unknown God. But in our case, the altar is a place where we kneel down. There's nothing special about the altar. I don't care if you use a chair. I don't care if you use the shore of the sea. I don't care if you use the carpet. It's just some way to kneel down and pray.
Amen.
And here, they kneel down on the shore and pray. There's no way to contest that. And some will, even though there's no way. Verse 6 says, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, they're in a ship again, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to, good luck saying this word, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. Now, first time it was 7 days, and here it's one day. And the next day that we were of Paul's company, he had others with him, and he had a company of people journeying with him. He said, the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Now Philip went from a deacon to a preacher. Now he's an evangelist, and I'm glad the Bible points this out.
Yes.
And Psalms 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. Now God begins a work in us, and He continues that work until the day of Christ. And I'm glad God mentioned that Philip is an evangelist. And being an evangelist is quite a promotion. And he's been faithful. Paul mentioned about he thanked God for counting him faithful and putting him into the ministry. It was the Lord's doing. And Paul not only was a chosen vessel of Jesus, but it was a prisoner of the Lord also. And his desire was to do God's will. As a matter of fact, after he had more than a close encounter, he had a head-on collision with truth, with Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he took instruction from that day up to right here. And like I said, he didn't bat 100, but he had a pretty good record. And he should have maybe heeded, my pastor says he should have heeded this warning. And I certainly have no dog in the fight, and I don't think my pastor would even say he did either. But he was warned. Philip now is an evangelist, and it mentions, so you'll know a lot of people may have had the name Philip, but it goes on to say that this Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, which was mentioned, I think Acts 6, we mentioned that in one of our earlier lessons.
Yeah.
And They chose seven, and he's second one of the seven that they chose, Acts 6, verse 5. A lot of people, Brother Ed, they don't know enough Bible to blow their nose, but they will sure argue with you and me.
Right.
And it pays to know your Bible. It pays to be able to stand firm on the Word of God.
Amen.
Because I'll tell you right now, they'd love nothing better than to have you tossed to and fro with every one of the doctrine. Well, Philip has been faithful. Philip has done not only the office of a deacon and the office of a preacher, but now he's in the office of an evangelist. And I think it's in Ephesians that it mentions about God giving gifts. And let me see if I can find that real quick here. And my Bible's so marked up, I'll be lucky to find anything. Let's see here. In Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here's why: till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And it's important not only to have a preacher, but a saved preacher, anointed, called of God preacher.
Right.
And I'm all for it. I love preaching. I listened to a man preach this morning. My pastor said any preaching is kind of like eating watermelon. He said you might not be able to eat it all, but you can eat some of it. He said he which can spit the rest out. And this man this morning preaching, and it is a great subject, but he was speaking on behalf of the rapture. And I love the man. Greatest respect for him. Great man of God. Even my elder brother. But as he preached this morning, talking about the rapture, he said the Bible's not real clear about this subject, and he kind of got mixed up in the topic that he was talking about. Now, if you don't rightly divide this word, you'll be as confused as a termite in a wooden yo-yo. And he tried to explain about the rapture. He said, I don't understand how every eye is going to see him when he comes. And I don't understand how the graves are going to open up, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And I agree that it's, like I said, it's kind of gory. It's not really clear. But he said, I just know it's going to happen, and I amen that.
Yeah.
But Jesus is going to come for His church, and I do want to give a little bit of clarity. Jesus is coming for His church. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Nobody's going to see Him. I can take the Bible and prove that.
Right.
He's coming again, and every eye is going to see Him. Right. And they're going to weep. They're going to wail. They're going to cry out for somewhere to hide, and there's not going to be no place to hide, and we're coming with Him. He's coming straight to Jerusalem. He's going to sit up on the throne of David, His father, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. A lot of people got that all mixed up. But I'll just tell you, it's not crystal clear. That's why you need to put forth a lot of study. And he struggled this morning with that topic, and maybe I did there even a little bit myself, because there is going to be a battle of Armageddon. Also, the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle for 7 miles. And I'm just kind of off the cuff saying some of this stuff. But there's quite a bit of subject matter contained in this Bible. It's not where a novice can just pick it up and say, I've conquered it. It's where you need to continue. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 30-31, if you be my disciples, he said, continue ye in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people think they know the truth, and some of them claim to know the truth. But Jesus not only mentioned that, but He said in St. John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It better line up with this, and if it don't line up with this, spit it out.
That's right.
But Philip, he's one of the seven, and they abide with him. I want to read that whole verse because I kind of left it a little bit. It said, "The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." So they're all in the house with Philip here. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that's probably a good place to be.
Yeah.
Now, of all the choices that I could have to fellowship with, it would be among people of like-minded faith.
Amen.
To be able to sit there and talk about the things of God and the fellowship and to feed upon, the many things that we've got. We got quite a package. The Bible said there's given unto us exceeding great precious promises to us. And everybody ain't quite got them all figured out. I just know one thing, praise God, He promised He'd never leave me nor forsake me. And that's quite a promise right there. I don't have to feel after Him too far. He's never very far away. And He said, "Lo, I'm with thee, even until the end of the world." But I thank God for the promises of God. And all the promise of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. But here they are. This is a good place to be. I would hate to be in a house where somebody's cursing, taking God's name in vain, and blaming God for everything that didn't go their way. That would be a grief to me, and it would grieve the Holy Spirit that lives in me. And that'd be a tough place to be. They're in a good place, Brother Ed.
Yes.
They're enjoying this company. I'm going to say they're probably, if I can better word, saying, "Thank you, Lord, this is good." I mean, they've been in a journey. This is a rest now. They're here in this house with this evangelist. No telling the conversation. I just know it would be one that would be worth hearing. This next verse throws a lot of people for a loop. And I don't want to make too big a controversy about it. But it says, talking about Philip, the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, first of all, he had four daughters. Now, in those days, everybody wanted a son. And God had given him four daughters. And they were virgins. I don't know if that's even possible in our day and time, because we've become such an adulterous generation.
Amen.
Reading on the internet this morning, and I hate to throw this in here, but it fits pretty good right here. Reading on the internet this morning, a 13-year-old girl asleep in her bedroom was raped by an MS-13 gang member.
Yeah.
It was one of their initiation rituals. I mean, they just got to kill somebody. They got to rape somebody. What really bothers me is that's our lambs being given prey to these wolves and these political bums that are opposed to doing anything about this. I am totally against.
Yeah.
I'm tolerant, but I'm zero tolerant for that kind of thing going on. She was in her bedroom. There is no safe place. Philip had a safe place. He had four daughters, and they were virgins. It's sad our day has come down to this toxic political correctness, diversity, fine words. I mean, for gain, they'll do anything.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. But with them, it's about money. And the Bible does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. And if it didn't have money involved in it, I promise you this, these people wouldn't be here.
That's right.
I'm not that smart, but I'm not that stupid neither. I know that this was all about gain and money. So anyway, this man had four daughters. They all four were virgins, which did prophesy. Now that did prophesy, a lot of people, they can't quite accept that. Now, one reason that I would like to give a little bit of credit here to the fact that these four daughters prophesied was in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And it's good to take the Bible as a whole.
Yeah.
And this will clear up some of the muddy area that a lot of people struggle with. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now that neither male nor female kind of gives to me a leg to stand on about these four daughters. They, you know, they don't meet the criteria. Now, you know, everybody, their brother, your wives, your women, supposed to be silent in the church, and of course they take that out of context. That's talking about speaking in tongues, and it's, you know, it's just forbidden for a woman to teach or preach or anything. And I mentioned yesterday about my wife preaches me all the time, and sometimes her message is right on target. But let me just say this. Let God, if God's the author of it, I'm certainly not against it. Now, God put this in here, and I certainly ain't trying to make more out of it than what it says, but it does say that these daughters prophesied. And that's, you know, that leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. I'll just say this. If God's in it, you ain't going to overthrow it. And if God's not in it, it's going to come to naught. Right. So this is kind of good for me. Man, God preached through a donkey to Balaam. And for lack of better words, saved his life. Because there said an angel with a sword drawn. And if he hadn't listened to that donkey, that's kind of funny that it's a female donkey. And yet a man's voice spoke through the donkey.
Yeah.
You check that out. I like the way God does things. He took a female donkey and talked to a disobedient prophet with a man's voice.
Yeah.
But anyway, it says, "And as we tarry," this is a good place to tarry. You know, some places you don't need to stay.
No.
In other places, it's okay to tarry there a little while. And it said, "And as we tarry there many days." Now, no numbers given here. And that's a good place to tarry. There came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now again, Paul is reprimanded. If you've got a Scofield Bible, over top of verse 10, it says the Holy Spirit again warns Paul.
Yeah.
Now, God can warn you and me, and we can ignore the warning. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 is a verse to Christians that they would really give some thought to. I mean, it just speaks profoundly. Romans 6, verse 1 says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we live any longer therein?" God does chasten.
Yes.
And if you heed that chastening, wonderful. And if you don't, the Bible tells you plainly that you'll be taken out of this world so that you won't be condemned with the world. You will pay for it. Because there's no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus. I mean, He arose for my justification. He died for my sins, but He arose for my justification. He's going to present me without spot, without blemish, in His presence with exceeding joy. And I thank God for that. And the Bible said, "He that justifies the ungodly," that's Him, and I'm the ungodly, and He's going to present me without spot, without blemish, in His presence with exceeding joy. I'll just say this, let God be the one that does it. But Christians think they have a license to do whatsoever. You better be careful what you do bearing the name of Christ. Paul mentioned about Shelah. Man joined himself with a harlot after becoming a Christian. He said, "God forbid." I mean, you're making Christ a partaker of that act. We do need to live righteous, godly, soberly in this present evil world. We do need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's just normal. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind,
yes,
that you may prove what is that good, perfect will of God. God's will is good. His will is perfect.
Amen.
Well, here's Paul, the second time, being reproved, being warned. This prophet named Agabus, reminds me a lot of Baptist preacher, you couldn't tell them nothing. If you had a 4x4, you couldn't tell them nothing. And I'm almost as bad. I will say this, Brother Ed. I try to stay sensitive.
Yes.
I try to listen. I try not to exalt any weight. I try to decrease so he can increase. I certainly do not seek a reputation of anything other than saved, born again, called of God,
amen,
doing the work that God's called me to do.
That's right.
But I do believe a lot of men struggle like Paul did here in this warning. Now, Paul has made a lot of stride. He's gained and done a lot of things. And I commend him. I salute him. He's 10 foot tall for Jesus. I agree. But he did not heed this warning. And I certainly don't even put him down for his answer. Matter of fact, that's a pretty good answer. But this prophet comes to Paul, and when he came to him, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready." And let me say this, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
If you can't say what Paul said, you ought to be careful about everything you do.
Amen.
Now, I just want you to know, I'm in that category that no weapon formed against me can prosper.
No.
I agree an AK-47 will take me down.
Yeah.
I'm still going to heaven.
Amen.
You know, I'm just telling you now, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Unless they can remove Him, I'm as safe as a nail in a sure place.
Yes.
Not only is there therefore no condemnation them in Christ Jesus, but greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And I know we're not home. I know down here we're compassed on every side. I know the Holy Spirit is constantly being attacked in so many ways. Not only by fellow brethren and sisters, but through media and Facebook and smearing and all of that. And I hate to say it like this, but the devil loves every bit of it. But I'm glad that we can say like Paul here, "I'm ready. I'm ready." He said, "I'm ready not to be bound only. I'm ready to die." And you know what? If you ain't ready to die, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. But he said, "I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." I can't put him down for that.
No.
You know, I don't necessarily agree with his decision, but I certainly agree with his answer. He said, "I'm okay, boys." And the Bible's full of situations like this. Let me give you an illustration here. Rachel told Jacob, "Put on these lamb skins on your arm.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this savory dish that your father Isaac wants." It may have been Rachel. Rachel and Rebecca, they get me confused a little bit. But anyway, Isaac couldn't see. His eyes were dim by reason of age. Esau, Jacob, his two only sons. Esau, hunter, man of the woods. Isaac asked Esau to go get me some venison and fix it the way I like it. And Jacob's mother, I think it's Rachel. It's either Rachel or Rebecca. I get them two mixed up big time. But anyway, Jacob's mother told her son, Be it on me, my son, or do what I say. Now, the reason she said that, Brother Ed, when she was pregnant with these two young boys, they're fighting in her womb. She goes to God in prayer, "Why am I thus?" And God answered that prayer. And He told her, "Two nations are in your womb." And He said, "The elder will serve the younger." She took God at His word. What she did is in faith. She said, "Be it on me, only do what I tell you." She said, "Go take this to your father." And Isaac put the blessing on Jacob. That was divine providence. Jacob left. Here comes Esau. He got his dish prepared. And Jacob shaking and said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "It's Jacob, your son." He said, "Who was that? He got your blessing." I just want you to know a lot of things in the Bible kind of fit that criteria.
Yeah.
And in Paul's case here, this is kind of one of them right here. I don't really understand why he truly had to go to Jerusalem. I just know that he did.
Yeah.
I know it was there that he died. But he finished his course. He had the highest acclamation. I mean, buddy, God told him, he'd give him a crown of righteousness. And, you know, he got the highest accommodation. A martyr gave his own head for the glory of His Savior.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can't really understand it like it is here. You see Samson, one day he said, "I'll go out," as other times, and he didn't. And he's a champion, mentioned in Judges 16. I mean, he's killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of an ass. He's a Nazarite. He's not supposed to touch nothing dead, but he did. Hey, Kevin. He killed a lion with his bare hands and then came back and ate honey out of that carcass. He's a Nazarite. That's why he didn't get a haircut. God had to give him a haircut. And he got a haircut down at the devil's barbershop and
yeah.
They put his eyes out, they bound him.
Yeah.
And now he's a fool. But that fool had no sense to plead to God, "Restore my strength, let me be avenged of my eyes." And God heard that plea. His hair grew. He told the little boy, "Lead me to the pillars." He killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. But that one statement he made after Delilah had finally got the secret out about his strength, he made the mistake of saying, "I'll go out," as other times, and he didn't. He didn't know that God had departed from him.
Right.
But this doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. He's warned twice. He's ready not only to die, but he said, I'm still going. Verse 14 says, "And when he would not be persuaded." I mean, I've met these kind of people.
Yeah.
I've had a few arguments with them. "When he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.' And after those days, we took up our carriages." They're not in the ship no more. They're taking a journey, and the translation given in the Scofield Bible talks about baggage. But anyway, they took their carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manasseh of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." I'll just stop right there. Well, now I've got a little more time here. I can go on. Y'all got here early, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Well, good. You can get in on this. I thought it was done 11 o'clock. And it says here, verse 18, we're in Acts chapter 21, Sister Carolyn. I'm used to only having Brother Ed here, and bless his heart, he puts up with it. I don't know how. But if you can't teach to one, my pastor said, if you can't teach to one, you can't teach to 100.
Right.
And I appreciate Brother Ed being here. But he says, "The day following," we're in verse 18, "Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, 'Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law.'" Now here, you've got kind of a mix between grace and law. And it continues, The worst case of it is found in Acts chapter 15, and it's terrible, but it goes on today. People try to mix works and grace even today, trust me.
Right.
But here in Acts chapter 15, it's the worst probable scripture concerning this mixture of trying to get law and grace to marry each other. The law just showed me I was lost. Grace showed me I could be saved. And I had to have the law to get lost, but I had to have the grace to get saved. And then the law tells me what I need to do after I get saved, but it didn't save me. So anyway, and I'm just going to throw this in here real quick. Acts chapter 15. Then certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. That is not true. But they said it anyway. Verse 2 says, and when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, I mean, they're chewing the fat pretty good right here, and deputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of many of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Now, Pharisee is someone that puts on a pretty good show. About like the Catholic Church, they put on a good show. It's all show, no go. Let me put it like that. But the Pharisees, they look pretty good. And these Pharisees are here, and says they believed. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. I'll get a little deeper in that here in a minute. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, I thank God for Peter right here in this case. He said, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And he says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the... Yeah, he said, why tempt ye God to put a neck upon the... I'm sorry, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. I just want you to know this mixture of law and grace has not only been going on for a long time, it still goes on today.
Right.
And this says, then when all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them, and after they had held their peace, can you imagine a bunch of Baptists holding their peace? Well, here it is, after they had held their peace, James answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared, that's talking about Peter, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. And it better line up with the Bible as it's written. After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David. That's talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. I don't read no more there. Get back to where we were. This deal about the law and grace, I hate to say it, it continues unto this day. In verse 20, it's brought into here again, and it says they're zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Now, this accusation, let me say this about accusation. It may not be necessarily true. I can make an accusation against Brother Jerry back there, and his wife might get red-faced, and it may cause her to have doubts. But understand this, it's an accusation.
Right.
So when someone accuses they call Jesus a wine bibber. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And he was a friend of publicans. I can't deny that accusation myself. But people will call you and say all manner of evil about you, but keep this in mind. They're accusations. Don't swallow it, hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
Don't jump off the cliff. Give at least the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So they're throwing here an accusation, and their accusation is, thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Now Jesus made a lot of statements about Moses, and they were all good. And they throw this in here, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither walk after the customs. What is it, therefore, the multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. This controversy, it's like a powder keg. It's getting ready to boil over. It's ready to blow up. They're trying to give Paul here a little bit of an idea of what's ahead of him. They said these Jews are there. They're wanting to somehow overthrow your gospel message about the grace of God. And it says, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. You're going to be held to the strictest. You may not know this, but your gaze is stock. They're going to say things about Brother Ed. They're going to say, I thought he's a Christian.
Yeah.
They're going to say about Carol, she said she's saved.
Yeah.
They're going to say about Sharon, can you believe the hypocrite she is? I'm just telling you. You better get a hide like a rhinoceros.
That's right.
You better let it run off your back like water off a duck's back.
That's right.
If it can hinder you, it will.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The Bible talks about keeping your eyes upon Jesus.
Right.
It said, if you be risen with Christ, see those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Keep looking up. Keep your mind upon the things of God. Look, if me and Brother Abel was talking about getting a pole ladder. I told him one day, I looked down, I started getting dizzy. That had never happened before. But it's a product of old age. I mean, I'm getting older. When I was young, I mean, I could hang off a limb with one hand. But now I'm holding on the ladder. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, in a year, like Paul, he said, I'm Paul the aged. I'm getting older. But you're going to have to do some things, you know, or you'll be distracted. And they said, you know, they're going to be watching for you. And these Jews are trying to warn Paul. And verse 25, it says, as touching the Gentiles which believe. And thank God that you know, we were grafted in.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest with you, buddy. He came to his own received him not. We got a second chance. And we were allowed
right.
To become spiritual Jews.
Yep.
And as touching the Gentiles which believe, that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until an offering should be offered for every one of them. Paul was so determined to go to Jerusalem, and he truly is sacrificing himself for the people that are in Jerusalem. You know, he kind of made some statements that speak very highly of one such as him. One of my favorite statements about Apostle Paul is found in Romans chapter 10. And he just plainly says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law. They had a problem with the law. They wanted the law in one hand and Christ in the other hand.
Yeah.
But Christ is the end of the law. Now don't miss this. For righteousness.
Right.
To everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, but that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend up into the deep, that is to bring Christ again up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now there's something I want to point out in this verse number 9. And shall believe in thine heart. Notice that word heart.
Yeah.
Not your head, but in your heart. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A lot of people try to figure this out in their head. And the carnal mind's at enmity with God, and it can't figure it out. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody can figure it out. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of out of reach. But I'm glad God has mercy upon our ignorance. Paul talked about him getting mercy through ignorance. He said, howbeit I obtain mercy through ignorance. But here he is speaking about the heart. And he says, if you'll believe in your heart. You remember that Ethiopian eunuch? He said, I believe. I believe it was Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. Isn't that what he said in Acts chapter number 8? No, I'm sorry here. I believe I got the wrong chapter. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Acts chapter number 8. Yeah. He said in verse 37, Philip says to this Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thy heart. Our Sunday school lesson is about Philip. He went from a deacon to a preacher. Now he's an evangelist. In this lesson, we went a little further than what it said about Philip. But Philip put this Ethiopian eunuch on the spot. And he said, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Paul again is kind of pointing in that same direction about the heart. With the heart man believeth. And said verse 10, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me show you why it's so important to believe with your heart. Look in Colossians. This is a really important verse. You ought to underline this verse in your Bible. A lot of people don't really get this. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Well, verse 10 talks about us being complete in Him, talking about Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. But listen to this in verse Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Our heart was circumcised without hands.
Right.
And that's the circumcision, not of the law, but of grace. And that's my pastor said, that's how we're separated from our body, and that's how we're able to have eternal life.
Amen.
That circumcision cut us off from our sinful body. Paul talked about this body of death. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? This is how you got delivered right here. This circumcision made without hands, the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a tremendous verse to keep in mind. Where was I? Golly. Man, I've been chasing rabbits. I never will find out where I just left.
26th verse.
I ain't even close to Acts 21. But anyway, 26th verse. Thank you, Brother Ed. And Paul here, he does what they say. And he's determined to go. And when the 7 days were almost ended, I'm not really sure why that almost ended or put in there, but it says the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Now, Paul has been warned twice not to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He's even took part in this desecration or this purification. And it says, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, you know, he mentioned about they were our enemies. And yet, you know, it's only because of ignorance that they are our enemies. But we need to pray for them. And we need to put up with them. And here Paul is being warned. It says, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Now, that's quite an accusation.
Yeah, it is.
But to the Jew, that's all it took.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Someone in the Middle East country, and they do this quite often. Just take, for instance, you're a missionary over there and you're doing a great work and you're converting Muslims to the Christianity, and somebody comes in there and accuses you of blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes.
It happens.
They burn the church.
Yeah.
They kill him, his family. It goes on today. Well, that's what's going on in this verse. They're filled with rage. It's the same spirit that's in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen's preaching gun barrel straight. And I mean, he puts the finger on the problem and they rushed upon him and gnashed upon him with their teeth and stoned him to death as he's praying for them to be forgiven.
Yeah.
So this accusation is all it took. Verse 29 says, for when they had seen before with him in the city, Tripolis, I can't say some of these words, Trinimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. If you notice today, it doesn't take too much. You know, protesting is one thing, but an out-of-control riot is another thing.
Right.
And I've never seen nothing like it. It just seemed like they're wanting to riot, wanting a reason to riot. They want to turn cars over. They want to burn the town down. They want to kill, break windows, pillage and all of that. Well, in this case, all of Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beaten of Paul. Now Paul, he's just a victim of his own doing here. And the chief captain came near, took him, commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he'd done. Some cried one thing, some another. Among the multitude, when they could not know the certainty for the turmoil, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came up on the stairs, it was so that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. That's the same accusation they cried about Jesus.
Yeah.
Away with him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify him. And Paul, it said, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people, and there was made a great silence, and he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and we'll stop right there. I'll try and find a good stopping place. We went a little long here this morning.